All right, fantastic. Thank you, BBS Radio, for broadcasting us live. Thanks to those who are participating in the call here with a call through BBS Radio. Welcome to the call. Still have a few minutes to go, but you're welcoming people on the conference call on the phone line. And we had another person or two come in. Welcome to the call. If you want to, please say your name and location.
Hello, this is Edna.
Guten Abend, Edna.
Guten Abend, how are you?
Yeah, good. How are you doing?
Doing very good, thanks.
All right. Thank you for being here. I'm good to hear your voice. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hey, hi. This is David Mesa.
Dave, how are you?
Huh?
How are you?
Good. How about yourself?
Doing well. Thank you for being there. Thank you for being there yesterday. Except, I guess that the speakerphone on your cell phone is not so clear on the conference call. FYI.
Oh, okay.
But thank you for being there.
Because that was, well, I had some fans blowing on me. That's probably why.
All right. Hey, we had more people join in. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hey, hi. This is Don in Superior, Wisconsin.
Good evening, Don. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
All right. Yes, go ahead. Go ahead. Welcome to the call.
Hi, this is Don from Brexel. Hi, everybody.
Hi, Don. Welcome to the call.
Thanks.
This is Kathy in Rockland, California.
Yeah, hi, Kathy. I recognize you. How are you?
Thank you. I'm very good. How are you?
Good. Kathy, you rock.
Thanks, Rockland Rock.
Hi, it's Jim from Sedona. I hope you're well.
Yes, Jim. Thank you so much for being here. How are you?
I'm very well. Thanks so much.
All right.
Jim, they said you used to own a restaurant in New York?
New York State.
Oh, State?
Right near the Hudson River in the Hudson River Valley.
What kind of restaurant was it?
It was a little bistro, small, only 50 seats altogether, and very cozy, a couple of blocks from the river, and it was quite nice for the 7 years I had it. I was in the kitchen, and the work was terribly difficult when I was in my 40s,
yeah.
So forget about it now in my 60s.
Did you ever see that No Reservations show about, I don't know if you ever watched that show.
Oh, sure.
And they did
the
one
movie.
About the Hudson. They did one about the Hudson and New Paltz and all that.
That's
really
That's right. That's right. Yes,
yeah.
Yes, he did.
That's a good show.
It's Anthony Bourdain.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I want to welcome you.
Is that Heise?
Yes, sir.
Hey, Heise.
Welcome to the call, Wynn.
Hi, Wynn.
Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Good evening. Joel from Chicago. Hi, everybody.
All right, Joel. Welcome to the call. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
All right.
Been super busy. Now I was like, I'm actually going to be 3 minutes early.
All right.
1 minute. 1 minute.
1 minute.
Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Hello.
Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
This is Lucy from Orlando. I send everybody
Lucy.
Some sunshine
Good evening.
From Florida.
You.
Hello, Lucy. Nice to have you guys. Thank you. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for being here. We had somebody else join in. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
That's Chris in Memphis.
Hello, Chris. Good evening. How are you doing?
Hey, good. What's up, Heise?
Another day.
All right.
Thank you for being here, man. Okay. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Suzanne in Columbus.
Hi, Suzanne. Good evening. Welcome to the call.
Thanks, Heise. How are
you? Doing well. Thank you, Suzanne. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location. Good evening. Welcome to the call. If you want to, please say your name and location. welcome you all. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hello, Heis.
Good evening. Michael.
In San Diego.
Michael, long time no here. How are you?
Been a while. Good. Good.
All right. Doing
Michael,
well.
Are you reading any of those things I'm sending you?
Yes, actually.
I'm not, you know, I picked you out particularly to send them to.
Yes.
So,
conversation would be good.
You know why I'm sending them to you?
Because I have a big Band-Aid? No?
No,
okay.
I think you were there.
Oh, well.
And but I don't want to talk about it, okay? Because I'm getting ready to start my show. But it's good to hear from you, okay?
Thank you.
And
thank you.
It's 6:30. Are we on BBS, guys?
Yes, we are. Live on BBS, Ren.
Hey, everybody on BBS.
Yes. Welcome to the person who just came in. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
This is Vaughn from North Hollywood. How is
everyone? Hi, Vaughn. Good evening. Welcome to the call.
Thank you, Heis.
Thank you for being here. And somebody else joined in. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, Heis. It's Kim in Florida.
Hi, Kim. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, thanks. How
All
are you?
Right. For being here. So, Vin, she came in, but she dropped out, and she did not come in as a moderator, so I don't know.
Who was that? Terry, you're talking about?
Yes. She was here a minute.
Yeah.
And
where are you, Terry? She's calling back in.
All right. Moderator, right?
Moderator. You know the moderator code, Terry? All right. Well, we're about to start.
Vin, you sound super.
What's that? What'd you say, guys?
You sound super.
Oh, I sound super.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I want you to know we have this awesome location outside of Starbucks.
We have an exit on. Terry is close to you. Too close.
So.
Are you watching us?
Hi, Terry.
Hi.
So you better mute your phone, okay?
Stop rubbing his shoulders. It's okay now.
Okay. So here we go. Everyone's muted. Thank you all for being here. Here we are, August 19th.
This conference is being recorded.
August 19th, 2013, Lynn and Terry in Arizona. And we're going to move right into our call tonight. And this will be a good one. Terry can share a little bit because, you know, for the past month, we have been talking about something extraordinary, which is this version that has never been presented to mankind about how we were created, where the Bible came from, particularly the Old Testament, and how it got screwed up and how we got screwed up. And you know, I have heard this myself, and it didn't get to me. I said, okay, so we were invented this way, you know. I said, how do we know that? How do you prove that to yourself? It's just one more theory, even if it's got some backup. And so I didn't really pay close attention to it. And now that I'm paying close attention, and I'm bringing it up in front of you guys to pay close attention, it's pretty mind-blowing because it fits so much stuff together. And, you know, I didn't do the... Could you get rid of the dings?
Got it. Yes, thank you.
Thanks. I did not put a great subject line today, we just quickly stopped and pulled over. I sent that email out, and I said, is there really gold in South Africa? Well, we don't really have to prove that. Everybody knows there's been gold in South Africa, one of the, you know, main mining countries for gold, and that's fact. The real subject line should have been, was there an ET race that landed on Earth that was mining gold and was gestating hybrids that turned into humans, which is us? And that in itself is, so what? Okay, so we were made as hybrids, and our bodies are hybrids, and so what? Oh, we're here now. What difference does it make? Well, the difference that it makes is that these ETs that did this did not just create hybrids and then let it go. We probably would have all died. We didn't know how to do things. We didn't know how to have civilization. We didn't know how to farm. There was no school set up. Now, you know, these hybrids were pretty smart, potentially, but they needed to be trained. And so these ETs trained the hybrids, and they set up the beginnings of a society in a place called Sumeria. And the humans in Sumeria were fairly intelligent, fairly sensitive. They wrote a lot. There was a alphabet that they wrote on clay tablets, and there's like hundreds, maybe thousands, but at least hundreds of these clay tablets that have been translated. And it was these clay tablets that brought up this idea and told the story of this gold mining and the humans, hybrids, and you know, many things. And I think I'll shut the window. And no, this doesn't mean no. No good. Turn it off. Okay. So, you know, Zachariah Sitchin wrote about a number of books on the basis of these translations. And as we've talked earlier, there's a guy by the name of Michael Tellinger. I think is the way you pronounce it. Michael Tellinger is a South African. He's a PhD. I think he's a professor. And he discovered all the evidence in South Africa, the ruins of the civilization there, and a very advanced civilization, and gold mines that I knew about, okay? And he, Terry and I see him, he was giving a talk in Phoenix yesterday, and he for 3 hours, and essentially, this is as good as it gets if it comes to proof that something is real. I mean, here you have one guy that translates all these Sumerian tablets and says this is what they say. You have another guy finding all this advanced stuff in South Africa, including a calendar, and it kind of all matches up together. And why is it important? The reason it's important, at least there's probably more than one reason, but one reason is that this ET race, which was called the Anunnaki, this ET race was wanted us to be they're slaves. And why? Hang on a second. Go ahead. Start the car. Yeah, the CT race wanted to make us slaves, make humans slaves. And actually, there were two brothers that were in conflict. And one of them wanted to make us slaves, and the other wanted to evolve us. And in order to make us slaves, in order to do that, they had to make sure that our DNA strings didn't evolve. And so they created all these situations that kept us from evolving our DNA. Now, you know, everyone listening to this, this is where it gets really important. This is where the tire meets, the tread meets the road, because all of you have DNA. And all of you have DNA that's product of being in this realm. All of us have DNA that has been particularly programmed not to open up. And if you're watching TV all the time, do you remember in the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, there was a whole chapter on not watching TV and not paying attention to the media. Because it's all programmed to keep you in a matrix, a lower matrix of DNA that's contracted. I mean, I remember watching TV when I was younger, where it's kind of like you go mindless, you turn it on, a few hours pass, you turn it off, and it didn't entertain you, it hypnotized you. Maybe it kept your mind into it. But ultimately, they are intentionally using TV. And people are hypnotized. And if you say something in the right tone of voice, people believe you. And if you look at now, this is worse now than it was 20 years ago. If you look at the news, if you remember, I don't know if you remember, it's people like Edward R. Murrow. I think that's his name, Edward R. Murrow, who was a newscaster, and he would say anything. But today, what happens is it's all based on press releases. Somebody did something on this. Who was it? One of the late night shows, they had a press release. And then he showed like 30 different newscasts reading the exact words of the press release. None of them knew if that was actually true. They just read it. We have a program reality in a matrix. And each of us is in that matrix. And the key to this all is, how do we get out of the matrix? How do we get the juice, the energy we need to open up our DNA? And we've talked about that. We're going to go back to the Anunnaki in a moment. But I wanted to make sure you know why this is important, okay? Because this is the beginning of the programming. And you know what? They still exist. Yeah, Anunnaki still exists. Enki and Enlil, who are the two brothers, still exist. We still exist. They may not be existing in bodies. They may be existing in another form, in spirit. Is this conflict going on? Seems to be. It seems to be the essence of it. It was going on for eons. All the gods that we think were mythology, which I used to think were mythology, they couldn't really be there. You know, the gods of Greece, the gods of Egypt, you know, all of them even the gods of the Old Testament. Why are so many gods? And people must have just been making that stuff up. They needed something to make up. Well, it seems pretty clear that all of those gods were these ETs. And they were divvying up cities. They were fighting with each other for hierarchy in this realm. They were dropping nukes on humans. And I think they felt they could do it because they created them. They had rights to do it. And they were evolving them. And we are here today at the culmination of thousands and thousands of years of that kind of evolutionary process. And if you take the time, this is not channeled material we're talking about here. This is not, conjecture or hypothesis. This stuff, this has to be the way it is. We may not have all the I's dotted and the T's crossed perfectly, but in general, this has got to be the way it works. And how religion became a tool to control us that was designed by these ETs, or some of them. Keep in mind, you can't just say it was them, because there were a multitude of them, and they were competitive with each other, and they were violent with each other, but they were very advanced in many ways. And they were advanced technologically. They were advanced. Apparently, they could move through dimensions. They had spaceships that could move through dimensions. And that 1 year of their lifespan was equivalent to 3,200 years here. Now, Michael Challenger was, I'm not going to say all this is true. There's a very good chance. We're going to go out with Michael Challenger tomorrow. He really connected with us, and we connected with him. And he's going to be in Sedona tomorrow night. So in the morning, we're going to meet him, Terry and I. And I strongly suspect he'll come in on one of our Monday shows. And he's pretty impassioned about this. And I don't think he'll ever find a better group to talk about it. And I think he's going to take me seriously. I think so. And if he does, I'm sure he'll be on. And so this is kind of a good introduction to some of his work. And he was talking about the grid lines around our planet. And he was showing pictures. Actually, I videoed it. I'm going to video it again because I wasn't prepared. I didn't get all the pictures that he's going to. If they'll let me, I'll video them in Sedona. But how what we call the negative uses humans as, and we've heard this before, we've heard that people, they use our fear, and they use, the negative likes to create fear because they can tap the energy of fear. And so they can tap the energy of human emotion. And I've heard this before. The reason churches all have spires is because all those people that are in the church, now this is stuff, I'm just going to put this out. This is like, I'm not going to try to prove this, but all the people in the church, as their energies come together, they go up to the spire and they get harvested in negative grids. And that sports arenas, when people are in the sports arena and they're getting all emotional watching a fight or watching a football game, as they tend to do in those arenas, again, the energy is harvested by the negative into the grids. And it's like, this is just the beginning of an idea, and that we are trapped intentionally in this grid work. And that's why every Sunday, it feels like we're penetrating those grids. We're getting on the other side of them. And you know what happens when you get on the energy of the other side of those grids? You suddenly tap into the energy of the higher realms that is evolving your chakras and your DNA. And when we want to evolve, that is the step we have to take. We have to think about it all the time, because when I say think about it, you have to think about how to create situations and circumstances where you could be in higher energy. It's one of the reasons we have created so many opportunities for people on these calls. And I know some of you are listening and thinking life is worthless, hopeless, you're stuck. And we're creating opportunities that we're not charging for that you can utilize. And sometimes it doesn't happen right away. We had one person, we had more than one person say emails out, "Well, you always talk about this energy, and I didn't feel it. Then a year later, I felt it. Or 6 months later, I felt it." Why is it that not everyone feels it right away? Well, one reason is that your mind is in doubt. And your doubting mind, instead of allowing yourself to be neutral so the energy can flow in, your doubting mind creates a path of resistance, that this can't be real. And that, and since you, whatever you think is true, if you have a thought this can't be real, it like stands in the way of experiencing the energy. So that's one of the things. And the other thing is, how do I can trust this? And that's very valid, because you're dealing with invisible forces in other dimensions. And how do you know it's positive? How do you know that it doesn't have an agenda, or I don't have an agenda, or Terry doesn't have an agenda, that we're doing all this for some kind of grand manipulation for some kind of ends? Well, the way you figure that out is just to pay attention to it over time. I don't think you can figure that out the first time. Some people can. Some people can feel the energy right away. But in general, just like anyone that you meet in the world or anything you're introduced to, you have to pay attention to it long enough so that you trust it. Because you can't be open, you can't go into neutrality if you're still not trusting something. And you just have to go with that part of you that's not trusting until you decide that you do trust it, or you decide that you don't and you can go somewhere else. I mean, some people are going to look at this and not trust it, and that's okay. It's like, I do my best. I have spent a lot of time coming to my own conclusion that it was trustworthy, because I didn't want something negative out to the world. I wanted to be sure. And in general, most of the work we put out I don't have an agenda. It's one of the reasons that we give stuff away for free and we show up, because it keeps me from being controlled by money doing this work. keeps the whole work from being controlled by money. And it, you know, it's great when you guys buy something and you sell it, but you don't have to buy anything to get the benefit out of it. And if you spend money or give a donation, it's kind of like it should be gratitude there on your part. Thank you. You know, sometimes I get that. Somebody sends us something, and I didn't even know who they were, and we changed their life. So that feels like the best way to receive something, rather than me saying, okay, we've got these phenomenal sources. We're talking to the source that created the universe, and pay me this much money, and I'll let you in on it, okay? We don't do that. And it's not because we don't need money. It's that it keeps everything from having agendas. It keeps me from thinking that I'm going to do something and make all this money. Now, I'm not against making money, and I think we will make a lot of money at one point, but it's not going to control me, and money is not going to create someone that's going to control this situation. So, in fact, if you guys want to see this reach more people, send money, because we will spend every cent we get. You know, at least we're making enough money on our spend inside business to pay the bills. So extra money that comes in now will just go to putting this out. And I know how to put it out. I know how to do it. It's just that putting it out depends on me having time and me having money and making sure that there's a roof over everybody's head. So, but let's go back to the Anunnaki for a moment. And Michael Tellinger's book is called Slave Species of the Gods, okay? Now, we're calling them gods, and in certain ways, they were really awesome, okay? And there's a whole bunch of family who was all involved. It's like Peyton Place, or some television drama, okay? And it's like they were like a bunch of adolescents running around fighting with each other, but they were really evolved adolescents. And the whole story of it is in the translations from Sumeria. I mean, you have everything from erotic poems to the different relationships and the way these people adored these quote-unquote gods who created themselves to be seen as gods, okay? And I thought, well, since I might have Michael Tellinger on the show, I'm hoping I will. I'm not promising it, but I have his book, and one of his books. It's called Slave Species of the Gods: The Story of Humankind from the Cradle of Humankind. Remember, Michael Tellinger is a PhD. He's a very sharp guy. This stuff caught his interest, and he really, really didn't let it go until he figured it out. And let me see here. Just to give you an idea of the characters in this Anunnaki Peyton Place, first there was Anu. Anu was the father of these two guys and didn't live on Earth. He lived on another planet. And that this planet needed gold. And we talked about that. Gold was used to help these guys stimulate their upper chakras and live longer. And people sell that kind of gold today. And we asked about it. It wasn't recommended that you take too much of it. because it seems like it stimulates the upper chakras at the expense of the lower chakras. But nonetheless, they lived a long time, and they believed they needed this gold in their environment of their planet in order to live longer. We're talking about living thousands of years, okay? And that they had special herbal remedies that the elite would take, which would make them live longer than everyone else. So these guys were involved in the Earthlings for thousands of years, but they in particularly engineered the genetics of Earthlings to only last a short while, 100 years, okay? So here's the cast of characters. There was Enlil, and Enlil was a guy that didn't want the Earthlings to live. He was against giving them the powers to procreate or have sex. And he wasn't against engineering them as slaves, but he just wanted a new crop and then to disappear. And Enki was the brother that kind of decided he wanted to nurture the Earthlings in order to bring them back to Godhead. And one of the things he was doing is he was having sex with the Earthlings and the women. I think just the women, but, you know, he was doing it to transfer his DNA. Probably enjoyed it as well, but the idea was to transfer the DNA so that it would create more potential for the Earthlings to evolve, because, as we said this earlier, very loving intimacy causes DNA to open up, okay? So then we have Enki's sister, Nin. And Nin was the woman who was very much involved in helping to engineer the most perfect human and in healing. And then we have, before I go on, let's look at this. There were stories where they'd come up with defects, and then Enki would use the defects and find a way to make them useful, that there was something that everyone can do. Enki seemed like a pretty loving guy when you get into it. And then there was Enki's, let me see, there was Inanna. Inanna was the granddaughter of Enlil. Is that right, Terry?
Yeah.
The granddaughter of Enlil. Now, Enlil he's the one that wanted to get rid of humans. There was Enlil who supposedly did Sodom and Gomorrah. There was Enlil who was Yahweh, who was the jealous, oppressive God of the Hebrews. He was telling them to sacrifice things, sacrifice beings, and the God of Abraham. And see, they were fighting for the recognition of the humans. Enlil was the person that nuked Sodom and Gomorrah, and that was the whole reason that Sodom and Gomorrah disappeared. And then there was another nuke on the Sinai Peninsula. And Enki was the guy who was talking to Noah when there was going to be a deluge. It wasn't clear if that deluge was going to be artificially produced or if it was natural. I think it was natural, but they knew it was coming. And it was Enki who took the role of making sure the DNA was preserved. And Enlil didn't know, want this. And on some way, shape, or form, the story of the Garden of Eden and Adam and Eve had to do with the conflict between Enki and Enlil, because Enki was busy creating humans, and they were co-creating up a storm. And there was, well, if they don't have sex, they're not going to procreate. So there was an attempt to make sex not good. And in fact, all through history, through many religions, there was taboos on sex. Why? Because sex, really good sex, good intimacy, evolves your DNA. It brings the strands up for both people. And if you're going to enslave people, you've got to keep their DNA lower than yours. Because if it becomes equal or higher, then they have control. Whoever has the more strings on DNA activated, if they choose to play the card, because they don't have to choose to play this card, many don't, but the one who has the more string activated can control the one who has the less strings activated. So there's a vested interest in keeping DNA not evolved and contracted, because then you can be controlled. And that these people who are the priests and everyone else to control religions, if your DNA is not open, you can be controlled. Okay? And then you need that. Instead of, and then fear, come to us out of fear, because this is going to happen to you if you're not afraid. So there's been a big vested interest in keeping DNA contracted. And now, there were two different factions here. There was the Enki faction, who wanted to evolve DNA, was not afraid of the humans being empowered. There was the Enlil faction, who didn't want this to occur and wanted to keep humans contracted. Then there was the Inanna faction. Inanna was the great granddaughter of Enlil, who went to India and was teaching tantric sex, which is the Indian name for yoga, tantric yoga, of exchanging energies to evolve your DNA and becoming the priestesses and the goddesses that are worshipped to evolve your DNA. And then there was the Enki-ass person who supposedly went to India and was developed yoga, because yoga is something that evolved, you know, it's a complex science which includes six different kinds of yoga. There's Hatha yoga, I'm not going to go through talking about yoga, but there's the yoga of wisdom, the yoga of service, and the whole concept of how yoga works in terms of lifting your vibration. And of course, the whole purpose was to lift your vibration to that place where you could be one with all that is. And of course, that may take many, 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 many lifetimes, and it's okay. It's like in this lifetime, there's 12 strands of DNA, and in this lifetime, the challenge is to get slightly more than 3.5 strands open, which ensures you don't have to repeat the third chakra realm, and you move to a higher dimension and continue your evolution in the fourth chakra. Now, you're not limited to that. If you can open up 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, more power to you. And some of you are moving beyond fourth chakra, and many of you are still working on fourth chakra. And there's no competition here, because if I happen to have done something, because I was in lifetimes, many, many lifetimes, and I'm here, and you're going to do that many lifetimes to get there. You know, it's not like a reward or accomplishment that you have to be competitive about. You have to track against yourself, not someone else, and not some kind of absolute hierarchy. And for many people, fourth or fifth density is where you're going to go, the best you can do. In fact, it's excellent if you get there, because you'll end up in a future lifetime with a whole different set of parameters, as opposed to falling back into this realm and repeating third density, which is not going to be great, because from what I understand, there's going to be a huge amount of oppression and control that is already being geared up. Many of you are watching the news, and it's very powerful. I mean, there's always the chance that this realm, everyone could graduate. And a lot of New Age people are saying that. But according to all our information, that's not going to be the way it happens. First of all, it would take away people's free will. Because if somebody wants to be in a control agenda, then they can't graduate. They have to stay in a control agenda. And how can you force somebody to move out of that, okay? So going on to the Anunnaki cast of characters, I said Inanna did tantric yoga. Enki did yoga, and maybe the Upanishads and some of the old Hindu things. Enlil created martial arts, and as far as I know, the dark societies, the secret societies, the occult societies that are behind things today. And there was another player in there, Marduk, who was one of their sons, who was also got as bad or worse than Enlil in terms of trying to control this realm. And it's like those guys are the templates of what they started are very much in activated right now. I'll just read something from the Slave Species of the Gods, so you'll be a little prepared of this here. For her role as the wise and calming sister, they decided to change her name on that day. Ninma became known as Ninharsag, mistress of the mountain head. Now, Ninma was Enki's sister, who was kind of into keeping everybody healthy and helping to get the best genetic engineering for these humans. And so they divided the land between the siblings and their followers. And Ninharsag was given the land of the Missiles, or Tilman, better known to modern humans as the Sinai Peninsula, which was out of bounds to humans. This land was declared a neutral territory under Ninharsag's control. The habitable lands to the east thereof for Enlil and his offspring were set apart. This was the whole of the Near East, or Olden Lands, where the Anunnaki settled at first, which included Mesopotamia, Babylonia, Assyria, and Sumer. The dark-haired lands and the Abzu, Africa, was given to Enki and his clan, which included his earthling son, Ziasudra. Enki decided to appease his oldest son, Marduk, who also happened to be the regular instigator of trouble, so he gave him the dark-hued lands, which we know as Egypt. Under his hand, we see the sudden emergence of the new Egyptian civilization of the earthlings. But the old days of the primitive worker slaves were gone. Suddenly, everyone clamored for the civilized worker to be their slaves and perform all kinds of tasks. And I should mention, as I was studying this, that Marduk was given the Egyptian civilization. And if you have studied our material, there was this period where the Ra group was working with an early incarnation of Edgar Cayce, Ra-Ta, and did all these miracles, and they even manifested a bodies, and were working on healing the people who had become half man and half animal. And there were a lot of genetic experiments doing that from Atlantis. It's a whole big story. It's in the Egyptian connection. And if all this stuff fascinates you, Egypt.intelligent-infinity.com was one of the most powerful workshops I did a couple of years ago. But it laid the track for all of this, because in the Egyptian connection, according to Carla Ruckert, the work that the Ra group did in that period got taken over by the priests in Egypt, who were using it instead of to liberate mankind, they were using it to control mankind. And when I studied that period, I learned that the name of the god form still used Ra. They said Amun Ra. Amun Ra. Not the Ra group, not Aten-Ra. And guess what? When I started studying all these Anunnaki gods, Marduk became known as Amun-Ra. Okay? And here it is. He was given Egypt. One can clearly detect from the rather stressful and manic period in the lives of the Anunnaki, that they were very preoccupied with their own personal struggle, family quibbles, and problems with the mission to Earth. They didn't want to have to deal with additional complaints of the humans who began to multiply again. But this time, the humans were mixing with the Anunnaki and Igigi on a regular basis. Many of them expected to be granted the same treatment as the gods, as opposed to being treated like the lesser human slave species. A long period of uneasy stability followed, while the god support, gold supplies were being depleted, and there were occasional violent confrontation between the Anunnaki and Nut. The tablets describe various battles in detail, where fierce and sophisticated weapons were used, which could not have possibly have existed in those days. Most of the conflict was regarding land, instigated by Marduk and the Igigi. I don't know who the Igigi is, who were making all kinds of new demands and breaking rules at every opportunity. The way in which humans have fought over land since then is another example of the genetic hold this Anunnaki DNA has had for us for thousands of years, the incredible desire to conquer land and invade new territory is so distinctly visible in the behavior of the young offspring, which the older and wiser Anunnaki produced on Earth. And goes on and on. It's fascinating.
The
Ngiki were from Mars. So,
yes.
Those were the guys that the Ra group were moving from Mars to here, I suppose, maybe? I don't know. Let's see. It is...
They moved the year after.
Uh-huh. Listen, I'm doing all the talking, but you attended that his talk yesterday. Would you like to share anything or add anything to anything I said? We have 4 minutes. This is Terry's human side talking. A rare opportunity to hear Terry's human side. And
okay. I'm trying to get used to the echo here because we're both in the same car and I can hear the echo. One of the things that he mentioned was the grid around Earth, and the pyramids are all built on nodes for the grid line where two minds cross each other. And then they'll make a pyramid on that, which strengthens the grid around Earth. Also, he, and I've never heard this before, never even dreamt of it before, he was talking about the different or places where people got together, the or auditoriums, but they aren't auditoriums. They're outdoor round bowls where people get together and they watch something in the middle of it. And then they were piping the sound off into a building, which when you looked at it, compared, although it's very big, and then you compare it to a small circuit board, it's like a circuit board, and would pipe sound from the event up to the grid, and they were located in certain places to bring energy into the grid system around Earth. And I think that's very significant. That was one of the major things. It was very encouraging to listen to him to begin to put together a history of the humans instead of not knowing where they come from. There's all these tablets and all these records in the ruins that tell where humans came from. So I'm going to be very interested in learning more about this. Thank you.
Thank you, Terry. And so I hope you guys can see the value of this. And by the way, the Anunnaki were most definitely very strongly connected subsets of the Elohim, and that they had been here for a very long time. And if you recall, you know, we've had a number of series of calls on how the Elohim created the universe. And, you know, we got to the amoebas and we got the basic stuff. And then there was this idea that they came into this realm and they got stuck here. And that, because of possessions, it got negative. And of course, biblically, this would have been fallen angels. And I would imagine the Anunnaki might fill the shoes of these fallen angels, because essentially, at least, let's say the non-Enki ones, they wanted to just control this realm and have power in it, and have land, and that they would be the gods over this physical realm. And created a lot of junk, all right? And one of the interesting things is those people on the Enki side had a great desire to evolve the realm. And that in one of our sessions, they said, we were from the Enki side. And so more is still unfolding on all this, but it has something to do with this work we're doing as part of this flow. And it's still unfolding, so stay tuned. And I think we're at 6:56. We can stop this call now. And we'll be on Wednesday, and we'll be answering questions. We just wish you all, everyone tuning in, all blessings and love and care for the next couple of days, and that the things you need for your own life show up. On that note, I'm going to unmute you all. And you're all unmuted. Let's see.
Steamroller, go, go, go.